that your company built?
Well, way back, a little before our time,
mm-hmm.
We built some theatrical signs for the Florida girls. Do you remember them? Did anybody tell you about them?
Oh, thank you. Someone told me about them.
Well, there were these six girls that created quite a furor in their day. And they were show people, and we built a big spectacular of them sitting in a donkey cart, and the whole thing was moving back and forth in tune to a certain song that was popular at that time.
Uh-huh. But in those days, you didn't use electric lights, did you?
Well, they didn't have so much electricity. They were using gas lamps and cutting holes in metal and putting fire behind it.
But they had their tricks then, too. You told me that the color was obtained by just little colored glass.
They had little glass cups, like mm-hmm. custard cups, that were tinted. And we'd have a gas mantle and put the custard cup on top of the lamp and that thereby get a color.
Mel, just what percentage of all those signs in Times Square have you actually made?
Oh, I'd say about 75% of the
75%. Well, is it possible? I know that everybody would like to have his, at least people who are looking for publicity, would like to have their names on the signs. Didn't you tell me about a sign which did enable people to get their names on?
Well, it's a little harder to get your name on Times Square today, but during the war
uh-huh.
it was not too tough. We assisted the war loan drive, the 5th, 6th, and 7th bond drives, by cooperating with them. If somebody would buy a bond of $1,000 or $5,000 or $10,000, we'd run their name in electric lights on Times Square, such as Mr. Joe Blow from Des Moines, who's visiting on Times Square, has just bought a $10,000 bond. Won't you join him?
Big thrill.
That's right.
Have you ever tried to estimate just how much all those signs cost added up together?
Well, runs into millions.
Millions.
However, mm-hmm. I'd say the most expensive sign on Times Square costs less than a 50th of a cent for each person that sees it.
How do you figure that?
Well, it's about 20 cents a thousand.
Is this what the advertising people do? They figure out after an account has spent several million dollars, and then they say, well, they figure that at every second they get so many people looking so that it only costs you one-tenth of one penny. Nevertheless, you spend $2 million.
It's like counting sheep by counting the legs and dividing by four.
I imagine there's a lot of problems in constructing some of these big signs.
Yes.
How about that bond sign you were talking about with the big waterfall?
Well, on the bond sign, we have these two tremendous statues mm-hmm. that are each one of them 5 stories high. And, there are problems in maintaining them and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Those statues are hollow, you know. In order to get into it, you climb in the back of the guy's neck and go down a ladder so you can get to his toes.
Did you say there was a hole in the head of one of the people?
No, it's the biggest hole in Broadway.
That's nice. And this is where you need a hole in the head.
That's right.
And you also told me about the fact that in order to get a realistic effect, you sent some men down to Niagara Falls.
That's right. We made a study of how the falls fell and
mm-hmm.
what the water would look like going over the precipice, took movies of it and constructed from that. We just finished a study of a flying eagle. We sent some people over to the Museum of Natural History. They took movies of how an eagle flies. We're preparing a new spectacular for Times Square. We're going to put up a 50-foot flying eagle. That's going to be sometime at the end of the summer.
But all the research that goes into putting up a sign, aside from constructing it, you know, I don't think the public really appreciates the size of these signs. And you know the corny phrase, there's a broken heart for every light on Broadway. I was just wondering how you'd figure how many bulbs there are on these signs for the number of people who've been there.
Well, there isn't a broken heart for every bulb. We prefer to say there are 10 good lamps for each person who's on Broadway each day.
Hmm.
In other words, there's about over 10 million lamps there.
In other words, you figure that a million people pass through Times Square
right.
a day, and there are 10 million bulbs on those signs. Hmm. You also maintain these signs, I know, and you had some rather interesting things that I know I never heard about, and I'm sure no one in our radio audience or here at the Sherbrooke knows, in your maintenance of the signs.
Well, behind each one of these spectaculars, there's a small hut of log cabin proportions, about 10 feet by 20 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it's filled with electronic equipment, flashers, relays, and all sorts of things like that. That actually operates the sign directly. However, from the Palace Theater, which used to have a tour day, now it puts on the biggest show each night.
Plug.
We have the control room, the master controls for all the signs in Broadway from there. In addition, we have these sign watches, we call them. These are boys that just march up and down the street, seeing if a bulb goes out, seeing if a fuse blows. And
oh, don't throw that away. That's what I think fascinating. There's a night patrol, a couple of men who walk up and down Times Square who are in your employ, who watch the signs and see if any one particular bulb is out and then reports it very quickly to
That's
you.
Right.
And back up goes a replacement.
That's right. We hope they're watching the signs and not the windows.
I know, Mel, that there are world premieres in movies and in plays. You seem to adopt that practice when you open a new, put up a new sign, isn't that true?
That's right.
I'm sorry.
Oh, last November, we lit a sign for the Eastern Airline people. We had a unique ceremony for that. We had the Westinghouse people make a special bulb coated with a phosphorescent powder, which, when exposed to sunlight, would take on a glow. We had that lamp flown down to Miami Beach, and the mayor and some of the bathing beauties and Miss Miami Beach of 1951 exposed this lamp to the Miami sun. Then we flew it back up to New York in a hurry, and, well, at the proper time, we pulled this bulb out of its sack, exposed it to a photoelectric cell and to the accompaniment of loud screams and applause while the sign lit up.
You better explain what happened last week, wasn't it, when Times Square was blacked out. How come?
Well, just as when a new line of the United States came into the harbor, all the boats, everything, all the ships and everything else saluted it and recognized it as a new arrival, we more or less instituted a new tradition. We illuminated a new spectacular for the Canadian Club people as a welcoming gesture. All the other signs in Times Square dimmed down for 2 minutes, and Canadian Club had the whole show for itself for a while.
Imagine blacking out Times Square. Well, thank you, Mel Starr, the man who lights up Broadway. Thanks again for coming by. It was a lovely and interesting story. Very interesting. Bye.